Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. We'll start reading in verse number 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any questions. Well, this is a pivot point now in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's given the ultimate answer now. They've attempted to gainsay him at every turn. We find that the major divisions of what would comprise Israel had all in their turn come and tried to overthrow him in their speech, and they have all failed. The Herodians came, and what was their challenge? Pardon?
Taxes,
yes. And what about specifically about taxes?
Should we pay them or not?
Yes, but pay them to who?
To Caesar.
To Caesar, absolutely. They thought this will be a good question to trip him up, because we know how a Pharisee would answer the question if he were being honest. The Pharisee would certainly say, no, we'll lie, cheat, and steal any way that we can to avoid paying taxes to Caesar. Well, how did he answer them? Show me a penny, show me the coin, whose image and superscription? Well, then the Sadducees come. Now, what a lot they are. And they present what to him? This is the best that they can come up with. All of these groups, they come up with the best that they can come up with, and they try to overthrow him in his speech.
Were they the ones that were asking, if one keeps marrying the brothers and they go to heaven, whose wife is she?
Yeah, if you back up to verse number 23, kind of harkens back to our Sunday school. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him a question pertaining to the resurrection. What was his answer?
You don't know the scripture.
Yeah, not only that, but what else did he say? Verse 31 and 32. They couldn't get away from this. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now their problem was, is they blew away the entire Old Testament scriptures except for the Pentateuch. They claimed that they believed the Pentateuch. Well, where does Jesus draw this? From the Pentateuch. Immediately, they're silenced. Verse 33, when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. He's managed to shut down two of these groups. But since there's four, we have two to go. What about the lawyers?
Which is the greatest law?
Mm-hmm.
And he answers them, love the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm. These are the lawyers. Could they overthrow him in that? No, because the law itself said that. They said that they knew the law. That was their big thing. And so they're going to trip him up in saying, since we know the law, specifically the Ten Commandments and the 700 and some other odd laws that the Jews had, we can trip him up by saying, which one is the greatest? Which one is the most important? So he answers them out of the law. What can they say to that? And lastly, here come the Pharisees. And now we come down to this basic question. What think ye of Christ? And that's the way he puts it. Verse 41. Well, the Pharisees were gathered together. Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? That's the hinge on which the question turns. Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. Now, the Pharisees were really big on tradition and genealogies. But they didn't come up with the right answer. Well, David, of course. Okay, if that's so. Verse 43. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him, capital L-O-R-D, Kurios, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord. Notice that in verse 44, both instances of Lord are capitalized. Both Jehovah God, Kurios, the Creator. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. He's just quoted from the Psalms here, Psalm 110. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? They should have known this. But they didn't. The Pharisees were the know-it-alls. They were the very ones that would have said, we're the only group here that has a firm grasp of the scriptures. These Herodians, they're all political. These Sadducees, they're nominals. The lawyers, well, they're just lawyers. Not much to say about that. But the Pharisees were supposed to have the answers to all these questions, and they don't. So in verse number 46, the scripture says, and no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. He has just put down all opposition from the scriptures. Completely confuted every argument that they had. So now there's only one thing left to do. Yes, and from this point forth, that's what they set about to do. So this is an important question. What think ye of Christ? Not just whose son is he, but what think you of Christ in toto? Well, let's answer a few questions for ourselves. What think ye of Christ? What makes him different? That's what the Pharisees couldn't answer. If he's David's son, how is it that David, his son, calls him Lord? And he takes it right out of the scriptures. How can this happen? Well, it's going to take a miracle. Matthew chapter 1. Yeah, maybe more than one. But one at a time here. My feeble brain can't handle more than one at a time. Sometimes we read this every December 25th, and don't take it all to heart. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So right away we see that there's a miracle here. But what is the meaning of this miracle? Jesus didn't go around like a sideshow magician, just doing magic tricks to impress people. Every time he did a miracle, it had a meaning. And every time God does a miracle, it has a meaning. So if we stop and think about this, why did it have to come about this way? We just talked about it in Sunday school. Okay, how so?
The sin was through Adam. The sin nature.
Okay, and?
He was the seed of the woman.
He's the seed of the woman. Not the seed of Adam the first, but the seed of the woman. Well, why even bother bringing the woman into this?
Oh, well, seems like there was a promise way back when.
Yes. Yes, that's right, Mary. Fully human and fully God. Why is it necessary that he be fully human, which is what he got by being the seed of the woman? Because the blood of goats and bulls could never take away sin. It's a human life for a human life. What book in the Bible most closely exemplifies this? It's one that not too many people pay a lot of attention to, but boy, if you do, you're going to mine out some stuff you won't believe. Yes?
Isaiah
is important.
I'm thinking Leviticus.
Leviticus is important too. But we're talking about why the seed of the woman.
Genesis?
Pardon?
Genesis?
You know, this is going to take a long time. How about one that God plucked out of the land of Moab?
Ruth,
of course. The story of Ruth is the story of the kinsman redeemer, Ruth and Boaz, right in the line of Christ. It had to be a human, so that comes from Mary. So you actually see there are two miracles right here. It is miraculous, and we understand now the meaning of it. And isn't it interesting that on Joseph's side, look what the Lord says, verse 20. Joseph, thou son of David. Interesting. What do we learn from the genealogies in the New Testament? By the way, which Gospels contain a genealogy? Okay, what's the difference between the two? Why would we need two genealogies? Excuse me?
You get both parents.
Okay, why would that be important?
Seed of the woman.
Yes? Yup. That's right. But they both have a commonality in David. Mary is descended from David through Heli, the line of Heli. So she also is a descendant of David. Interesting how all this goes back to David. That's why the Pharisees were thrown into a tizzy, into a tailspin. They couldn't answer the question. But here it is right here. God orders all things. So there's really three miracles if you start counting miracles on what we have here. Oh, wait, there's one more. If we want to make this work on all fours, we got to have one more miracle. I think if we look hard enough, it might be in verse 21.
Matthew 1.
Verse 21. Matthew 1. Yes, sorry.
That he's the Savior.
Yeah. What does the name mean? Yes. Savior. What about Jesus Christ? Yes, he's anointed to be the Savior by God himself. There's a lot here. But there's more. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 is kind of radioactive, isn't it? Well, I can tell you that the Pharisees, the scribes and the lawyers, didn't like it very much. But really, this is an indictment of all of mankind. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But for our purposes this morning, let's start in verse number 38. John chapter 8 and verse number 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered him and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Well, he throws the gauntlet down in verse 46. But let's look at some other things that we just cruised by. Verse number 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do. And you'll notice I probably emphasized those words or tried to as I read the verse to throw out a hint. We might be back here. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. What is Jesus saying here? I'm bearing testimony to the truth, but you are going to physically do something that you have seen with your Father. You're going to do a deed. Yes, absolutely. That's really the point of the whole thing. Sure. And then they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What's going on here? First of all, let's take what they said. Abraham is our father. Was there a sense in which that was true? Yes, they're the direct lineal descendants of Abraham. But is there a sense in which that is not true? Yes, they're certainly not the moral and spiritual descendants of Abraham, which is to be brought out by simply observing their actions. And Jesus brings that up. Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me. Remember, this is after that turning point where he quiets all four branches, if you will, of Israel. They don't dare to ask him any more questions, and so they're only left with one option. And what is that option? To kill him, of course. And he knows that, and they know that, and they know that he knows that. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. There's a double whammy here. It's not just that you seek to kill me, but what about which I have heard of God? How does that relate to Abraham? Abraham heard God, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It's all right here. They should have known that. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. You're going to actually do something, not bear witness to something. You've already borne witness to him. All four divisions of you, Israelites, bore witness of him. And now we've come down to where there can't be any more questions asked. But now you seek to kill me. A man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Well, that kind of brings us back to Abraham's roots. Who was Abraham before he was Abraham? A chip off the old block, the son of his father. What about Abraham? What does the name Abraham mean? The Prince of God. That's pretty powerful. They should have known that too. So he's confuted them once again. But now you seek to kill me, a man which hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. But to follow on to that, verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Now we come down to the deed again. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Oops. What are they trying to say here? That's exactly what they're doing. Now, where would they have gotten this idea?
Their father.
Don't you... well, yeah. yeah. But don't you suppose that the story of Mary and Joseph and John the Baptist and all of that got told all through the hill country? And that people knew that? And they had spies everywhere, so they had heard that also? But did they believe it? No. But they're going to accuse him here. But they couldn't quit there. They had to go on to say, we have one Father, even God. Are they making a bit of a stretch here?
For somebody that completely distorted the religion that God, the Father, gave to them and made it their own religion and then twisted it and turned it and then, I mean, where we get to John 17 and Jesus is telling the disciples, they're going to murder me and say that they're doing it in the name of God Almighty.
Yes, what you say is true. But what would the average Israelite have thought if he heard another Israelite say that God is my father? In other words, made himself the son of God.
Blasphemy.
Of course. That's what they have accused the Lord of. Blasphemy. He said that I'm the son of God. Here they say the very same thing, which no Israelite would have ever had it enter into his head to say. That's why the Israelites, the Jews, hated Paul. He's teaching that in the new birth we are the sons of God. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. What do you think they're thinking at this point? Remember the question of the lawyer? What was the great commandment? I mean, this is all happening in one sitting. This isn't a bunch of disconnected things that happen weeks apart. What was the answer? Which the lawyers did not attempt to refute. In fact, they're the only group that actually patted Jesus on the back and said, you've spoken well. That's true. Yes. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, hypothetically, then you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. What's he referring back to here? We be not born of fornication. He's just cast it right back in their teeth. Then he asks a question here. What think ye of Christ? Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? This has happened with the Herodians. It's happened with the Sadducees. It's happened with the lawyers. And it's happened with the Pharisees. He gives them good answers, but they can't hear it. Why? Because of verse 44. You're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. What's he saying here about what Satan does to human beings? Paul has something to say about that too, doesn't he? Blindness? The God of this world has done what to them that believe not? Blinded their eyes. It's the same thing that's going on here. And Jesus challenges them. Now, if they had been logical thinkers, what would they have done at this point? Even before he gets to verse 44. Wouldn't they have said, you know, if what you're saying is true, you've got to help us to understand this. We're going to have an open mind here. Now, we're prejudiced to believe that you're a charlatan and a fake. But if you'd open our minds that we could understand your word, do it now. By the way, if they had asked that, do you suppose he would have done just that? They do just like Adam and Eve. They run and hide under the trees of the garden. They're not interested in the truth. And so we bring forth verse 44. You're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Boy, there's a lot in here. If you can spare me another 5 minutes, let's parse this one out. Okay, you're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Okay, he was a murderer from the beginning. What does this refer to?
He caused Adam and Eve to die.
He murdered Adam and Eve. His first murder concerning the human race, but he's also done murder before he gets to Adam and Eve. People talk about him all the time. People say the devil made me do it. And by the way, if they're lost, there's some credence. He took a third of the angelic host with him. We meet them in the book of Revelation once again. He murdered them too. Then he comes into the Garden of Eden, murders Adam and Eve, and in the process murders the entire human race. He tents the fountainhead of the entire human race. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he abode not in the truth. What's the first lie that's recorded in the scriptures? That's a tempting question.
Ye shall not surely die.
That's it. Ye shall not surely die. The first lie that's told in the scriptures. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own. What's being said here? When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own. He didn't get it from any place else. All lies originate with him. He's the fountainhead of all lies. And as a matter of fact, he intrinsically is a liar. And he's the father of it. All lies trace their roots back to him. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. That looks like a conundrum, doesn't it? But what he's saying here? Because they're of their father the devil, who is a liar, and the father of it, when they hear the truth, can they hear the truth? That's why they couldn't understand his speech. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. And then he throws the gauntlet down here. Another miracle. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Is there any human being that would dare to utter such a thing? Well, there might be some stupid enough to do it, but the problem is there are witnesses.
Well, they accused him of being a malefactor, but they
didn't know. They could never name a specific crime, and he's just thrown the gauntlet down. He gives them the perfect opportunity to do it right here and now. Name one sin, one iniquity that ever I did. They accused him of being born of fornication. There should be an adequate track record. It's just like when somebody says to me, the Bible's full of mistakes. What's the first thing I'm going to say back?
Show me
one. Show me one. That usually ends the conversation. He's throwing down the gauntlet here. This is miraculous. He has triumphed over sin and triumphed over Satan. What think ye of Christ? His virgin birth was important, but his virtuous life underscores it. And that's as far as we can get for today, so let's pray.